Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now stop beating your gums and sound the attack.
All right. Hello, 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 and welcome everyone to another episode of the We Got the Chocolates podcast. In fact, this is episode 18, number 18 this week. I'm here with Sam and Mitch again. They are in the room and looking as fit and firing as ever, despite how late on a Sunday evening it is. Welcome, boys.
Lethal. Yep. Good to be back in the studio to talk some sport and a lot of rubbish as well.
Correct, yeah. Mainly, definitely emphasis on the rubbish, I would suggest. Just let me get some background noise here, guys, and just give us a little bit of tone to talk over the top of, just to describe exactly what's coming up in this episode. Now, not in this particular episode, but in the next one, we actually have an interview with Australian opening batsman Matt Renshaw that has been kind enough to organise for us, take us into the inner sanctum of what goes on in Matt Renshaw's brain and backyard. Which we're obviously looking forward to. Has that'll be magnificent. So that'll be out later in the week. But for today, guys, we obviously opened things up to our fans on Instagram. They've given us plenty of feedback. I was amazed with how much how across their sporting news they were. So we're going to get through all of their requests first. Hopefully, get to name drop a few people. We've obviously got a big cricket wrap as per usual, given that it is cricket season. We've got a social sim bin for you. We've got some rugby league news, and then Haz is going to talk about his special sport that he tried yesterday. He's got a broken finger, the old powder finger cup, as they call it, Haz, that you've been playing in at the moment. And then you're going to talk about how you spent your Saturday rather than playing cricket. So without further ado, obviously we don't have a little jingle to start, but we'll call this section Little Instant Chocolates. And that obviously is a clever pun that will probably get changed by next week when we think of something more clever. But it was basically just we opened it to Instagram, guys, to see what people wanted to speak about. And Haz, you'll be particularly interested in this one. So from Nick Burns, from Brad Russell, from Matt Gillam, there's three or four people that wrote in talking about obviously the momentous occasion last night with Tonga defeating Australia. And what I found interesting is it's actually called a Tonga Invitational 13 that beat Australia. But I don't know what that name actually meant, because they seemed like they had a very strong side.
Yeah, they were full strength, I'm pretty sure. And I loved watching the game. It was a great game to watch. Tonga had a massive team. The players in that team were huge. The centres were bigger than our centres, and the halves were massive. Katoni Staggs playing halfback. So it was an interesting setup, but they were far too good. And Australia had a good team, but I know they wouldn't have taken them too lightly, I don't think, because they know just the names they have in that team are quite strong, but yeah, weren't good enough.
Sorry, boys, it's the AHM bills coming through there, which obviously I'll have to take care of tomorrow. Private health skin, quite important when you get to my age.
Yeah, the old midlife crisis.
Easy, that's right. Has very, very valid points, we must say. And do you think it's sort of dire straits? I mean, there's been some huge blow-ups. Remembering that we are sort of a few weeks for a lot of these players, we're quite a few weeks outside of the NRL season now, aren't we? But there's been some massive, massive blow-ups. I think I've got an example actually here for you guys if you want to have a listen to sort of Freddie Fittler's take. I'll play that for you now.
Like Joey said, I think a few of the Australians were just waiting for the season to finish. I think, you know, if mouth fed ink, he's make sure he's looking at that game and going, well, you know, we make sure we need a few different players here, because although some of their efforts were just terrible. So, you know, just didn't put their hand up at big moments, took really easy options and let each other down. And like I said, they let Australia down, let the jersey down. And, you know, really poor standard. They set a great standard down in Illawarra and they just didn't back it up at all. So there's a good chance a few of those blokes won't be there.
Yeah, look, it's easy to say from the commentary box, and it's a bit different when you're out there with massive Tongans running at you. at least as we said last week, we mentioned how the under 23 junior Kangaroos were such a good team, so we've got a lot of depth there, and if there needs to be spots filled, then there's plenty of depth. But certain players didn't live up to expectations, I guess. The halfbacks probably the ones that are copying most of the flack there, and probably fair enough. Cherry Evans and Munster, they did provide some opportunities and make line breaks and provide some for other players too, but a couple of crucial moments there, especially towards the end, they made mistakes and probably cost Australia the game.
I look across at some of the Tongan names and some of the people that have committed to playing for them, and obviously it seems like a lot of people have sort of taken some big sort of pay cuts and stuff, like turned their back on playing for New South Wales for Origin or something like that. So for Fida and Tamalolo and those guys, they've obviously got some good things happening there in Tongan rugby league.
Yeah, they have no right to be a second tier nation anymore. They're right up there with the top tier, and I think Australia would have planned for that, and you'd hope they would have anyway. And I think, yeah, usually in those games, maybe the defence doesn't gel quite as well. They're not used to those combinations, but it was nil all for quite a long time in that first half, and only a few late tries that blew it out to 16-12. So it's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Very fair. Skinner, do you got anything to add there? We sort of haven't really heard from you breathing over there.
No, I'm still kicking over here, but no, nothing too much to add, nothing too profound. I think you've covered that quite thoroughly, Haz. Well done.
Yeah, that's rare for you, Skinner. Normally profound is what we expect from you. But you've got a Skin stats section coming up that you've actually prepared for, which is magnificent to hear.
Yeah,
a lot of people
would
be very, very happy with that, that's for sure. The next one, guys, it was sent in by Peck86. I don't actually know his real name, but Peck86 we'll go with. So great pecs on him. But the 2020 Youth Trans-Tasman Touch Footy Teams were announced during the week. We obviously gave Brad Russell a little bit of a shout-out there because we're a big fan of his work after he came on the podcast. But there's actually sort of six teams that are up there, right, from 18s boys, 18 girls, 18 mixed, 20s boys, 20 girls, and 20 mixed. So that's six teams that will play in Newcastle, and that is in January. So from the 24th to the 26th of January, if you're not busy, Haz, you might be big bashing at that time, actually.
In the middle of summer, so you'd think so, but we'll wait and see, I guess.
Okay. Well, if you're playing in Sydney, just a short little hop, skip, and a jump over to Newcastle to watch them play. A couple of other people that we probably do need to get around is sort of Drew Price will be in the 20s mixed team. And he's someone that always sends in to us about his UFC questions. Remember those that we've covered really, really thoroughly? But he's a great man. He gives us a shout out every week on his Instagram story. And then Isaiah. We played at NTLs this year. I played in the Sharks team with him. He's a great man and is always very keen to get around the We Got the Chocolates page as well. So those two, along with obviously Bradley Russell, we particularly wish a great tournament to. But obviously all the Australians go very, very well. And if you want to have a look at those teams, then they are up on the Touch Football Australia website. Next we had one come in from obviously our own backyard, so from Redlands. This one came from Matt Fay. We was talking about Luke Davies scoring 100 batting from the first ball to the last ball in fourth grade yesterday, which was pretty impressive. He's a young kid. How old was he, Skin?
I couldn't tell you.
He's in the tabs, so I think that's under 17s, I believe. So, yeah, very impressive, and he backed it up again today with 75 for tabs, so he's going well.
That's right. I was just looking for ways to incorporate Skin there again, but he's just swatted me away, so thank you very much.
Has just saved the day. Thanks, mate.
Fourth grade actually hung on for a draw there. They were in a precarious situation and managed to bail themselves out. With Luke Davies hitting A4 off the final ball to end up 101 not out, so quite a story to tell the grandkids there. Then in our game, boys, in first grade, we obviously went down, which probably most people that listened last week would not find that hugely surprising, given that we were chasing 415. But one mention that Baisley sent in for us, James Baisley sent in for us, was John Stimson yesterday. He decided that obviously we'd flick the switch and we were going to try and bat for a draw. And Stimmo has... Well, Baz refers to it as setting up the swag at one end. He was just camping out, just nailed four stakes into the ground and got the swag out. He ended up on 13 not out. He was stranded, so probably would have gone on to make a double 100. 13 not out from 121 deliveries. So that was a day in the trenches for John. So had to get a mention, that's for sure.
worked on his batting a lot lately, John, and hasn't been able to bowl with a few injuries, so it's good to see that hard work pay off for him.
That's right. He also couldn't bowl yesterday because he was too sore from batting, ironically. So
maybe wants to take Liam Smith's opening batting spot there. Yeah,
give him a grind, John.
Giving a message to the skipper.
Yeah, well, message received. Well done. And then Zach Kemp, guys, great fan of the show. I've seen him in when getting a haircut a couple of times, which is unusual for me to get a haircut, but
it's not required very often.
No.
It must be a cheap one.
Well, you still pay full price, which is a bit stiff for my half the job. But yeah, just sort of go in and make the penalty spot look a little bit more blended in with the rest of my hair by cutting it all short. That's the plan.
Perfect.
Working so far, has.
I haven't had to make that plan yet, so I haven't thought about it too much.
Just wear a hat. It's my other solution. But boys, probably a serious topic that he's obviously brought to our attention, which was quite surprising to read and just showcases, I guess, how you do have to, well, I mean, it can strike anyone and it can always be the people that you probably least expect as well. But Glenn Maxwell obviously came out during the week and informed everyone that he was obviously going to take some time away from the game as well to focus on his mental health, which was surprising because it was just last episode that we were talking about him being on the microphone and having a great time and running someone out and talking us through it. And then obviously to read that he's probably not actually a happy person away from cricket is obviously very sad, first off, and we send him our best wishes and hope that that the time away from the game is able to heal him and that he can definitely get his love back for the game because we'd certainly love watching him play.
Yeah, we're very lucky as professional cricketers to be able to play cricket as our job, but you never know what's going on behind the scenes in their personal life or, you know, in their head. Thoughts about the game or anything in general. So, yeah, hopefully he's back on the cricket field in no time and we see him on the TV screens again.
Certainly. We need him back by the Big Bash, that's for sure. Otherwise, the viewers and ratings are going to be cut in half, I would suggest. No switch hits.
Yeah, he's unbelievable in T20 cricket. He's a great competitor, someone you want to be playing against. You want to play against the best, and he's one of those.
Absolutely. No, very, very fair. And so thank you to all of those people who did write in, guys. It was great to have your ideas, great to get you involved. And as per usual, you are the most educated sporting guests that we have ever spoken to. This is the first podcast we've ever made, but don't let that get in the way of the story there, Spin. But no, quality. Thank you so much, guys. And we look forward to continuing that tradition to get some of your thoughts across Instagram in the future. We're going to go on to a little cricket wrap here.
Oh, our bowler's close. He's given him. He's given him. Peter Siddle's got a hat-trick on his birthday. Champion, 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 champion.
All righty. I might start us off in the cricket wrap, try and work up my word count a little bit here.
Yeah, that'd be nice of you to have a word.
Yeah, so I'll talk us through the women's BBL. So there was a game today, I think, between the Sixers and
Melbourne Stars. And
Stars, was it? Stars, yeah. Was it? Yeah, thanks.
Are they still sitting in last place?
Yeah.
Still sitting down there.
Yeah, Stars are still down there at the bottom of the ladder.
To stand up at some stage, has.
And the Sixers, who has predicted to win the comp, actually. So it was... Should have been an interesting matchup, and
should have been.
And the Sixers haven't disappointed. They've put on a clinic, hitting none for 199 off their 20 overs.
That is ridiculous. Surely someone, surely someone's falling on their sword at some stage. But no need.
No record.
Has that ever happened before? No wickets lost in 2020.
I couldn't tell you. Maybe that'll be skin stats next week.
I'll send it in.
Elise Perry, obviously pretty impressive, hitting 87 off 68, and Alyssa Healy turned up 106 off 53.
She does not struggle with the cricket bat.
Yeah, no, so that's pretty impressive, and they obviously went on to win the game. And then another little shout out to Beth Mooney, who's now averaging 87 in the WBBL after hitting 77 not out off 51 rocks today in Brisbane's win over the Adelaide Strikers in Mackay. So that's not a bad little series either.
Pretty true to get her on the podcast, actually, has. I reckon you'd have some contacts there. It seems like we speak about her every week. It's just rude not to ask her.
No, I know Beth. She's a great woman, so hopefully we can get a hold of her and convince her that this is a great show for her to talk on.
Tough to convince.
So we, at the moment in the WBBL, we've got the Thunder leading the way, closely followed by Adelaide and has his pick for the tournament, the Sixers, and then our team, the Brisbane Heat, in fourth. So, yeah.
Well, maybe just get some Sheffield Shield into your head as well, Has.
Yeah, I guess the big news in the Sheffield Shield was debutant Daniel Solway scores 100 in that debut for New South Wales. It was an interesting selection because, you know, he hasn't been in the setup as much as a lot of other players in their squad, but he has scored heaps of runs in first grade and second 11 cricket over the past few years. Him and Nick Burtis, you know, interestingly selected ahead of Jack Edwards, Jason Sanger, Param Uppal, who are all young guns with massive raps on them, who may not have had, you know, the best stats necessarily on their records at this stage. It's only early in their career though, and it's surprising because there's a lot of media talk around and it has been about them over the last couple of years. So for those two slightly older guys to get call-ups is interesting, but they've done well, as you can see.
Yeah, I actually like really, really, really supported that. Solway's only 24, so we're talking about like slightly older guys. I would feel like that's not hugely old. But we were looking at, we listened to sort of his presentation speech yesterday, and he scored 8,000 runs across first grade and Futures League cricket. So 8,000 runs at 24 years of age, that is a serious amount of runs to score to knock the door down, I reckon. So despite the fact that obviously, all of those guys have probably played first-class cricket already, Jason Sandwiches and Jack Edwards and stuff, then obviously I was really, really impressed. I didn't know anything about Daniel Solway, but to hear in his presentation how many runs he'd scored, that's a massive sort of testament to obviously his character, and then a great sign for anyone out there to go, well, don't feel hard done by if you haven't scored as many runs as what he has.
Yeah, well and truly deserves it, without a doubt. I'm not trying to take that off him at all.
Absolutely.
And the same game, Jared Sayers took 8 wickets in the first innings of that match. Unbelievable. It just makes bowling look easy at Adelaide Oval. And
I'll tell you where else he's made bowling look easy, actually. Has. This is a story for you. at Henley Oval against El Drennan and the West Torrens team, when we were beaten outright, and he dismissed me for 4-0 in the one day.
You have to be pretty good down there as a bowler too, because I've played a couple of times in second 11 cricket, and it is flat on every ground I've played, or at least when I've played down there.
Just as
flat.
A disclaimer, this was a green teamer going everywhere.
Okay, well, I'd hope so. But he backed it up in the second innings with another 5 wickets, so 13 for the match. Yeah, he's earned his cash that game.
Yeah. Wow. No, he's not a bad match.
Actually, Haz, I just wanted to ask a little question here. Just the Solway story reminds me of this. Where did you make your debut, your first class debut?
Down in Tasmania in Hobart.
How did that go?
It was a good game. Yeah. we won. I managed to pick up 100 in the first innings and 70 odd in the second. So it was a nice way to start.
What number were you batting?
Batting at 3, actually. Yeah. You've been so high, second game of the year. I was rookie contracted. Didn't expect to get a game necessarily that year at all. But, thrown into the mix and filled in at number 3 and loved it. Yeah, it's great.
Unbelievable.
You would love cricket after a day like that, I guess, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's a genuine question, Has. I know we don't often get onto serious topics, but like on debut, obviously you've killed it there at number 3 and just slapped them everywhere. Do you think, because you often see sort of like people come out and think about like Travis Dean, Harry Nielsen, Daniel Solway, Sam Hazlitt, four names sort of off the top of my head that have made hundreds on their first
class. Yeah, lots of guys have. I think Joe Burns and Peter Forrest, I think maybe as well. Has
like Marnus made 85 on debut. It's obviously not 100, not the same bracket as you has, but definitely like there's a lot of people who have actually done really, really well on debut. Do you think that with the amount of obviously access to sort of video and live streaming and watching replays and stuff now, does it actually get harder when teams are obviously able to go away and prepare, having seen vision of your play, and they can go and actually work out and go, okay, well, this is where that guy struggles, and then have bowling plans to get you out, and then you've almost got to try and reinvent yourself again. Like, do you find that to be the case?
I think teams get better at bowling at you after you play a few Shield games. They definitely should have a good idea of how you bat, because in second 11 cricket it's all recorded, so you watch the footage and you can see from there. I think batters do so well in the first game because they get to that level and they think, gee, this is going to be another level. The bowlers are going to be so good here. I'm going to have to be on. I'm going to have to watch the ball that hard. Mm. And they fight in each ball. They're focused and switched on. And because they have the skills, they got there for a reason. They're good batters already. Then, you know, that approach works well for them. And then it's just about trying to replicate that. And it's not as easy as it sounds. So yeah. They need to find a way. And I do too need to find a way to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard for you at the moment because you've got that video camera thing on your hand, so you can't even pick up a cricket bat at the moment. I went to ask you how to hold a cricket bat today and you couldn't even show me.
Yeah, broken fingers and holding cricket bats don't mix too well.
Very stiff, mate. How is the hand going for the listeners out there? Are you getting that thing off at any stage?
Yeah, I think about 2.5 weeks in now, so hopefully in a couple of days, see the specialist, get it re-scanned, should be able to take the splint off then and get my range back in it, hopefully, and yeah, maybe 4 weeks total. It'll be nice to be out in the cricket field again after that, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, Haz. Did we finish your shield wrap or are you still going with that?
I probably should mention that Travis Head scored 100 for South Australia in that match, trying to keep, be in that next test squad.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard squad to pick, actually, with the people that are getting runs at the moment and probably some of the people that aren't getting runs as well.
Yeah, plenty of options. You know, do you go with the guys who have scored the most runs or do you think about what wickets they've played on as well and more of a long-term outlook on how they've been in the last 5 years, or you know, how do you go about it? So
yeah, very true.
Finally, Cam Bancroft caught at leg gully or leg slip, however you call it, for the third innings in a row. And we've joked about that in the Queensland squad a fair bit. Talked about how we, like, in the last couple of years, we need to get a guy in that leg slip, leg gully position because he always hits it there, trying to play straight, trying to block the ball back down the wicket, and he somehow finds an inside edge and it actually carries to that position. And we haven't done it a whole lot, but I guess after a couple of innings of it happening, we've decided that we'd go with it and give it a crack as well, and Marnus took the catch there.
Is that the reason for the ridiculous celebration?
Yeah.
Marnus is double fist pump to the sky.
Massive carry. I think he was turning to the coach's box there and like, I told you guys it was going to work.
No, that makes sense. Very fair. All right, well, let's get on to the men's international cricket as well, guys. Now, obviously, we've had another couple of games since our last weekly wrap podcast. So Australia did clean sweep Sri Lanka in the 2020 series. They obviously chased down 117 in the second game and 142 in the third game. So those next two games, they actually batted second, which was probably disappointing for the crowd because they were chasing quite small totals. Interestingly, David Warner actually remained not out for the entire series. So he scored 60 and 57 in game two and three. And that was obviously after his 100 in the first game that we spoke about. And then Steve Smith proved a few people wrong. Sort of that might have classed him as only just a test batter, and he came out and got 53 not out off 36 as well in his first innings back in Australian sort of 2020 colours. And I don't think he's actually played a huge amount of 2020 cricket for Australia, has he? So
no, not a lot. And going back to Dave Warner, yeah, how good of a T20 cricketer is he? However, I was watching the Pakistan game against Australia in the first T20 and
today rained out as well. Yeah,
yeah, and I saw David Warner's stats and averages 30 or 29.99 or something now in T20 cricket, which is really good for T20 cricket. Mm. Babar Azam in the Pakistan team averages 50, over 50 in T20 international cricket, and he's played a fair few as well.
Yeah,
so that is incredible, and he's the world number one T20 international batter.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's a shame that we're not a Pakistani podcast. Otherwise, we would talk about him a lot more.
We'd be all over that.
Yeah, we would be, that's for sure. But no, very, very impressive. Speaking of, we're not speaking of it at all, but I'll just go on to an entirely new point. There was, through the week, Shakib Al-Hassan as well, who we've seen actually is relevant to Australian cricket because he has played in the Big Bash quite a few times. But he's obviously been banned from cricket for 2 years as well. The second has been suspended, though, but that's for failing to report approaches from a match fixer as well. So we're sort of seeing that rear its ugly head again. But we haven't really seen many details about this, have we? Like, we don't sort of know if he just, you know, like if someone came up to him and said, "Hey, mate, how many overs are you going to bowl this game?" or whatever.
It was a well-known match fixer that has been sending him messages on WhatsApp. Somehow got his number.
WhatsApp. Not great for the app when the next person gives that a rating on the Apple Store.
Yeah, I think
speaking
a lot of the
guys give us a rating as well, by the way. Should have mentioned that at the start. Carry on, Haz.
I think a lot of the messages on his phone had been deleted, so I was a bit suspect that he felt the need to delete the messages he'd sent back to the
match fixer.
Maybe just
needed some more gigabytes, man, and his space. He might have only got like a 16 gig phone, and he was just like, geez, where can I get rid of some space here? These messages from the match fixer went into us.
It's got to be that. But yeah, I think at first he said he was asking for details about the match insider information, not actually telling him to fix the match. But
what type of insider information do they want, those folks?
What, like, the pitch is like, what the team list is going to be. I've heard talk about match fixers controlling how many people wear caps on the field versus no hats or versus bright broad brims, or they put money on.
Like an actual market that people bet on.
They bet on how many players are going to wear a watch or a wristband on the field. Or long sleeve shirts in the field. So that counts as match fixing. You can't do that.
Long sleeve shirts. Do you reckon that's why some keepers wear short sleeves and they're like, what is this going on? They're just actually match fixing. That's it. We're going to have to go and investigate them all the time. That's, fair enough. Okay, that's weird. This is the actual thing that I was trying to segue to. Speaking of Pakistan, Western Australian leg spinner, which certainly played for Western Australia last year, but Usman Qadir.
Son of Abdul.
Yep, son of Abdul, exactly. He's obviously been named in the Pakistan squad for the tour of Australia as well, after he played for, as we said, WA and then the Scorchers last year as a leg spinner, but with a wicked wrong-in as well that people sort of struggled to pick in the Big Bash. So it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good bowler, without a doubt, but I didn't think he'd be in the Pakistan squad. They've got a lot of good spinners over there, and you've seen them come over here and do damage to the Australian batters who struggle to pick them. And Usman had a couple of good games for sure, but I mean, good luck to him. They said they picked him because he's had experience in Australia and knows how to bowl here, so fair enough. But, well, yeah, interesting selection.
Hmm. Yes, very, very fair. Okay, that's probably done us for a cricket wrap there, guys. Not bad at all. Thank you, very thorough. Skin, well contributed once more.
Yeah, just a few seconds at the start there.
I'm really looking forward to this skin start section.
It better be a good stint.
You've been genuinely captain nowhere tonight. But Skin, maybe you've got something for me on this. Quality. Now, guys, as I alluded to, the social simbin, we will probably get some ridiculous comments based on, obviously, the outrage from the Australia v Tonga result last night. And people didn't let us down. Obviously, Sam sort of kicked off. He got the ball rolling with the I've seen under sixes play better than that. That was embarrassing from Australia. Now, I'm not sure if Sam's watched. I mean, I know you probably shouldn't take these.
Not me, comments. By the way. It's a different Sam.
No, it is. Different Sam. In fact, we call him Samuel just for ease of use and lack of confusion. But I know you probably shouldn't interpret these literally, but I'm going to. If you've ever watched the under-60s game of rugby league, they are dreadful. Like, literally everyone stands in a pack. You can throw a blanket over them. Everyone's trying to steal the ball from one another. It's a one-out pass from acting half only because you have to pass it. That's the rule. They didn't play worse than under sixes, unfortunately.
There were some great memories from under sixes.
You were probably good because you just ran around the whole pack.
That's all I did.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Well, I mean, in that case, maybe you would have played better than last night. Maybe they wanted you at centre. But Sam, I'm afraid, I understand the point that you're trying to make, but it's not a great comparison. So chuck yourself in the bin for a little bit, please. My favourite one, though, guys, I think this one's amazing. Mainly because the guy that wrote it is named Who. So Who wrote it? And his comment in response to this was, the NRL is a train wreck, just another example of the mess. Now, what I find quite ironic about that is that every Tongan player pretty much also plays NRL.
The vast majority, yeah. So
literally, like, how is that the NRL's fault that they've developed players that are also good for other countries, not just Australia?
Yeah, that's great for rugby league to see that competition. We don't want Australia dominating necessarily. I mean, as an Australian fan, you want them winning, but it's great to see the competition with other countries.
Oh, my goodness. That's exactly right. So I'm unsure of how that makes the NRL a train wreck. I think most people are sort of usually wanting the game to develop and go to some of these second-tier countries. So new phone, who dis? That is not great by you. Grab yourself in the bin. Also, a little seat in the bin there. And then from Craig, no wonder the ARL did not want Folau to play, which I just don't, that confuses me. I don't understand them. What has that got to do with anything? What's the point that he's trying to make? Would he have beat Folau by himself? And would that have been bad? I don't get it.
I'm trying to help you, but I've got nothing. I'm rattled.
How's anything?
I might need to get Craig in contact with us to explain it.
Happy to. Call Craig and find out there. And then, boys, we always try and pick sort of a big target. And this one.
Stir some controversy.
That's right. Yeah, stir some controversy. I'm sure they're really concerned when we tag them. But Fox Sports, we've actually had a crack at them a couple of times. But again, just their headline again. This is probably not just Fox Sports. I think this is like you have to do this as a subject at university if you're a journalist, how to write a headline that's misleading and untrue. And so this one is Halep branded a disgrace. Now, this is what her coach actually says.
Look at me. The last three games, you've been a disgrace on the court. Come on. You cannot win this match doing what you've done the last three games. You've got to reel it in. Get your focus back.
So, as you can see, he does say, for the last three games, you've been a disgrace, right? And it's obviously as a way of sort of motivating her and saying, like, saying, if you look at the video, she's visibly upset. She's obviously thrown in the towel, and he goes on to say, for no reason, you've thrown it in. But to make the comment or the headline, sorry, branded a disgrace, honestly makes it sound like she's been match fixing or handed in a poor drug sample or something like that.
Yeah, trying to suggest it's a personal attack on her, which it certainly wasn't.
No, which it was not. It was used as a standard motivational chat from her Australian coach there. So Fox Sports, again, because you snicked us off and you got us with your clickbait article, we are also putting you in the social sin bin there.
It gets me every time.
It got you as well, Skin.
Yep.
Thanks for letting us know. Skinner,
yep.
We're going to one more quick, just so we can play the NRL tune. Actually, we probably should have played it earlier, but here it is.
Lassoed by Talis. Look at Talis. Look at Talis. He drags him.
You're sampling the best. Better than all the rest.
Yeah, so the final piece of NRL or rugby league in general news is Sam Burgess and Matt Gillett have retired recently due to shoulder injuries of some sort. They'll both be seeking medical retirement, I believe, from their clubs, so they don't count in the salary cap for their clubs because they both have multiple years left on their contract. So they've just got to convince the NRL that it was one moment after they've signed their previous contract, and it's not a pre-existing injury. It happened after that contract was signed, and the injury caused them to not be able to play rugby league again.
Right. Do you reckon that would be easier to do? Like, do we see often people sort of being exempt from the salary cap because of medical retirements, or is that rare?
I think Greg Inglis, did he get exempt? Oh, yeah. I think he was a medical retirement, maybe. I don't know if he's actually got accepted or not. I know Ben Madalino from the Tigers, he recently got accepted. That took, I think, over a month or a long time for the NRL to accept that as a medical retirement. Sam Burgess, apparently they said, you know, he had a bung shoulder. It was causing trouble for years, but they said after the last piece of surgery, after he signed his most recent contract, the wound got infected from the operation. So that's what they're going to try and say, that he couldn't play because of the infection.
Right. All right. Yeah, very fair. Well done, Haz. It's good. It's our last bit of rugby league news there. And then the next one, Haz, obviously, I probably don't have a little jingle for, unfortunately, but I will just give us a bit of this one. But you have come across a little sport, that like a special sports showcase, I guess we're kind of going to call it there, the Triple S. But you're just going to tell us a little bit, Haz, about a sport that you found yourself playing yesterday.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon, played a bit of disc golf. So not sure if you guys have played disc golf before.
I think I've always called it frisbee golf. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, definitely.
But I didn't know that it was like a real sport. Like this was like a setup. Like it's actually set up for frisbee golf.
Yeah, and I actually played years ago when I was about 10 years old in America. They've got full forests or parks that are just for frisbee golf. But this one is just a standard public park in Yeronga, Felberg Park, just next to South Korea Club. So we can play a game after we play at South next time, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just played at South the other day, actually, and saw people having a trundle at disc golf at the end of the day.
There you go.
Yeah, good viewing.
Join them?
No. No, I didn't. I probably could have after I nicked off, but decided to probably should watch the game instead.
Yeah, we frowned upon.
Yeah. I played with fellow Redlands Tigers cricketer, Scott McAuliffe, good mate of mine. Scott.
Where's he been?
Yeah, unable to play cricket at the moment. He's got shin splints, he's working as an engineer, but not allowed to run around, but it doesn't stop him from playing disc golf because he can just walk the course.
Sure.
He's got a pretty good frisbee throwing technique, actually. I struggled to start with to match his skills and control, but that's what you'd expect from someone who lives about 100 metres from the disc golf course. House prices surely must have skyrocketed in the area since the course has been added to the local park. People must be flocking to the area to be around a world-renowned disc golf course.
That would be the type of thing that I would look at when buying a house. Are you going to get a disc golf course? Yes. Okay, well, that case, you had me.
Scott, his experience shone through in the front nine, leading by 3 shots after the front nine. And there was actually only 9 holes at the, in the course.
So he was winning.
I convinced him that we should play the back nine, which was actually just the front nine reversed. So go from...
Far out, Haz. Okay.
I found my range somehow. We were all tired leading into the final hole, clawed my way back, and managed to claim victory by 1 shot somehow. It's actually not a tiny game worldwide. There's 115,000.
This is what I'm shocked about. Like, I thought that you were literally just going to come on and tell us about you playing disc golf against one person. I was like, Haz, it's probably not a great segment idea, but it's a real sport.
Just try and get some deets out there for people who want to know more about some random sports.
There would be a lot out there.
But 115,000 active members of PDGA worldwide, which, for those who don't know, which I'm sure is most, it's the Professional Disc Golf Association.
Most people probably could work that out. But
I'm sure those professionals get paid through the roof to be professional disc golfers.
Probably in Europe or something, like somewhere weird. They
someone would get around it.
Volleyballers get paid an absolute malta in Europe and zero in Australia. Anyway, carry on. Sorry, Haz.
Yeah. So my research has told me that the first game was played in Canada in 1926. Early competitions used trees, trash cans, or hula hoops as holes or targets. But now there's a specially designed metal basket with sort of chains that hang around it that act as the net. It's usually a standard. I
saw that in the footage of you winning, and I've never seen you that pumped about anything in your entire life as this frisbee golf result. Like, the slow-mo of your fist pump was something that should have been putting Titanic music to.
Fortunately, my broken hands, my non-dominant, so I can still throw a frisbee, which was very handy. And
same as sign language, quite handy.
Shout
out. The discs they use are normally a bit smaller, but also a bit heavier than your average frisbee. They're actually different size frisbees for different purposes. You've got a long range driver, you've got a mid range iron, and a short range putter. Well, and there's multiple of each of those, depending on the player and their preferences. So we only had one of each, and we shared sort of alternated between who had the driver and the iron for each hole.
Pick up these frisbees at the place?
No. There's no clubhouse. There's no place to play. It's free. It's just at a random park. But Scott had these frisbees in his possession.
Jeez, how into this game is he?
Well, if you live 100 metres from the park, you'd have to invest. You
have to get in there. Yeah, good point.
Plenty of different types of throws they have in, as professionals. They do just your obvious backhand throw, which I just only did backhands, but you have your forehand, which you see some people doing with a frisbee. Special names for different overhand or roller throws, whether you get it bouncing off the ground and getting it around the trees and obstacles on the course.
I'm a pretty intelligent guy, Haz, and I've never heard of most of those throws, that's for sure. Never studied those at school.
There you go. That's why this segment is as it is.
That's true. Yeah.
You are, speaking of you studying at school, Lethal, well, you've got a bit of an unfair advantage on the rest of us. You were there for a little bit longer than everyone was.
How are you there longer than anyone else?
That makes it sound like I got kept down. Which is not the case.
It's a bit more entertaining than that. Tell us about it.
Well, I did. I had to do one extra day of school than everyone else has. There was about 4 of us that did, actually, mainly due to the fact that the classic muck-up day prank went quite wrong for us. We were encouraged to go on the sort of last night of school and do a bit of muck-up, which I don't think anyone even had any great ideas. Like, my contribution was putting Vaseline on every door handle, which was actually hilarious. I remember doing that to Skin in Darwin. Me and Spencer Johnson did it to Skin in Darwin heaps with Vaseline on the door handles and got him every time. So it would have actually been
so annoying.
Yeah, it would have been a great gag. But I think, like, most of the other efforts were probably just borderline sort of damaging property, like throwing eggs and baked bean cans and stuff like that. Anyway, so because we caused quite a racket, we'd always thought that, like, the stories about them having security at the school were just to scare you off, and that was actually not true. And we found out that it definitely was true when we started seeing sort of torch lights and hearing a dog barking. So obviously we legged it as fast as possible, tried to get out of there. Everyone jumped the fence. It was all clear. Great news. One of the blokes that we did not even go with, he just happened to be in the school, And obviously we saw him when we went in there because he had a similar idea. He was caught by the dog as he was trying to jump over the fence.
Oh, right? Shit.
And then he, obviously, the security guard in the school interrogated him and said, who were you with? Even though we weren't even with him, we all got dobbed in. So it was all us, which was brilliant. He's now
in so innocent, weren't you?
Well, he's now in the army now, which would be great if he ever gets interrogated. I hope he never gets caught. So that's interesting. But yeah, no, what was the worst thing was that, like, I didn't know that he'd obviously dobbed everyone in. So then I got called up to the principal's office. I was the first person to go in, and I just categorically denied doing it. I was just like, no, never heard of this school that you speak of. And no, it wasn't there. I was in bed, blah, blah, blah. And then I came out, and the guy went, yeah, man, I dobbed everyone in, by the way. I was like, great, thanks. So obviously on the final day that everyone got off, because our graduation was that night, so all year 12s didn't have to go to school, I, along with three other blokes, had to come to school and scrape gum off chairs and just do some horrendous tasks around the school, just anything that was horrific, clean the toilets and stuff that they could just think of. And then I'm pretty sure every teacher got instructed to just, like, hate us for that day, because every time we'd walk around, like, just teachers would, like, growl at us and snarl at us. And just, yeah, it was a weird experience.
So
yeah,
right.
There you go. Yeah, so you had an unfair advantage about sort of being a bit more switched on than everyone, but you didn't actually learn anything in that extra day. It was just a bit of community service.
Well, yeah, I learned how to scrape gum, I guess. Count that. Okay. So,
perfect.
Not sure what else I would have learned. How to wear fluoro. I would have been a great traffic controller because I was walking around in a fluoro vest so that all the younger kids could just point at you and laugh. It was humiliating. I don't think you'd even be allowed to do that anymore.
I remember I was definitely one of those kids in junior school at the time.
That's my idiot brother wearing the fluoro there. I had a brother and sister at the same school, so all their mates would have thought I was an absolute deadbeat.
Correct.
Magnificent. Skinnell.
Yep.
Let me play this intro because this is your time to shine.
All right. No way, you just have to wait. These stats don't come easy. What's your heart? A lot at stake. Thank you, Lethal. All right. My time to shine. So hopefully I can put on a better performance than last week. I sort of got a bit fumbled up with my script and stuff, but we'll see how we go.
We'll get you buffering here to give yourself some more time again.
Just a disclaimer. Anyways, we've received a message during the week drawing my attention to the Major League Baseball, which is obviously not an Australian sport, so we wouldn't normally focus on it, but I've never been one to discriminate. I've obviously had to learn a bit about the NFL.
That was Carl Micken that sent that in, wasn't it? Just to give him a name drop.
It was, yeah. Give him a name drop. Thanks, Carl. And yeah, so I've had to learn a bit about the NFL and plenty of other sports sort of in my skin stats journey. And yeah, in this case, the baseball has probably produced the most interesting statistic that I've stumbled across in the recent weeks. So the World Series has been happening over the last couple of weeks in America. We've had the Houston Astros taking on the Washington Nationals in a best of seven playoff series to sort of find the winner.
So I watched a bit of this, actually.
Did you?
Mm.
Yeah, right. I just read about it.
Once Carl alerted us to it, I was like, oh, I better get around this.
Yeah. It's what do you think about baseball? It can be like I love watching the highlights, but the games go for 19 hours and you see about 4 minutes of play.
Yeah, it's very slow.
Nothing like test cricket, is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, that's fair. That's pretty rich.
Fair enough.
Americans can't comment too much. What the heck are you guys talking about? but I think the highlights are unreal. Some of the, like, things that you see, the outfield catches, jumping in the crowd to catch them and stuff, are pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, there's some impressive skills on display. Anyways, getting back to the stats, what do I have? The Washington Nationals won the first two games away in Houston. Then the Houston Astros won the next three games away in Washington before the Nationals won the sixth game back in Houston. So we had the seventh game decider for only the 40th time in the World Series 115-year history. And entering the seventh game, we had both teams had obviously won three games, and all of their three games had been away games, which sort of sounds a bit rare. It's quite counterintuitive. You sort of talk about a home ground advantage, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Incredible,
Big chats in, like, the AFL finals about the home ground advantage and stuff, and these guys were just throwing the theory out the window.
Exactly. And I think they, like, obviously one team has to get more home ground than more home ground games than the other in a seven game playoff. So they sort of decide that around whoever's been best throughout the season. So it's meant to be this big advantage. But then the seventh game, the Nationals were playing away and managed to get the win. And so for the first time in any North American game, like game with a sort of seven best of seven post match,
oh, that's like series basketball. Match.
Yeah, yeah. So basketball, hockey, NFL, any of those games, we've had all seven games won by an away team.
First time ever.
First time ever. So that was,
I didn't realize it was the first time ever, like across all those sports.
Across all sports. Yeah, so that was,
that's loose.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. That was sort of the fun little stat, and a few little bonuses. It was the sixth straight year that the away team has won the deciding game, and the fourth straight series won by the away team. But yeah, definitely the first ever that all seven games were away. So.
And more pressure playing in front of the home crowd. Want to do well for them?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, man, maybe. It's
crazy
theory.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe just choke a Hontus there in front of the home crowd.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it for the baseball. And then obviously I've been following along with the Rugby Union World Cup recently. So should probably give a quick little update there. We had the final was last night, I think, wasn't it? It was last night. Saturday night.
You actually watched it with me, so that's good memory.
Yeah, sorry. Short-term memory loss. But, we had South Africa versus England in the grand final, and South Africa managed to upset them, winning 32-12. So, yeah, making a fool of my big spreadsheet yet again, but that's all right.
That spreadsheet was dead about 3 weeks.
Yeah. When New Zealand lost.
Yeah, that's right. That's good, Skinnon.
All right, that'll do me. Thanks.
No worries at all. That's very impressive, actually. This was a segment that really just that's set the crowd alight last week, actually. So this is obviously any news that we haven't got to cover in depth. We're at the 45, 46 minute mark now. So any news that we haven't covered in depth, Haz is going to try and cover in the next 60 seconds. It is a minute to thin it. Ooh. Ready, Haz? And go.
In International Rugby League, Fiji beat Samoa 44-18 and New Zealand beat Great Britain Lions 12-8. Cricket, Victorian coach Andrew McDonald will be Australia's assistant coach for the home summer. In cricket, Oman, Scotland, Namibia, Netherlands, PNG and Ireland booked their spots in the T20 Cricket World Cup qualifiers. In Shield cricket, Tasmania beat Victoria in Hobart. In one-day domestic cricket, Queensland beat WA in the first one-day domestic game played at Metricon Stadium. In tennis, Ash Barty beat Carolina Pliskova to book her spot in the WTA Finals Championship match against Elena Svitolina from Ukraine. Barty will end the year as world number one regardless. First T20 international between Australia and Pakistan at the SCG in cricket has been abandoned due to the rain after a good start from the Aussies.
Jeez, Haz, you've absolutely killed it there.
Yeah.
How much time do I have left?
You had exactly 15 seconds still left. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So,
we need to give you more news next week.
Yeah, that's right. Even with some of those slower. Even tough some names. Of those names as well. Jeez. No, but in the interest of time, Haz, I think you've actually done really, really well for us there. That's impressive. And then, Haz, the other thing that you've actually contributed this week, and now you sort of had spoken to us a little bit about how you wrote us a song and we never used it, blah, 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 and now it's probably not as topical anymore. So you've actually gone out and just written a new song, which we thought was very, very impressive, because this is definitely a song about something that we can all sort of, we're all familiar with, I guess, the feeling has. Can you explain this, the basis of the song to us that you've written?
Yeah, so it's based off Sia's song, the Chainsmokers song, Don't Let Me Down. Yeah. And I've changed that to Don't Give Me Out. So it's a story about someone who's nicked one early, and but it's a very fine edge, and they're trying to hope that the umpire doesn't give them out because they're just going to stand there. They're not walking. They're not going.
So. Absolutely. Just burgled down the leg side, Haz.
Yeah, this is plenty of times.
Particularly topical for me. My dismissal yesterday was the faintest of edges, and I hung around for about 5 minutes trying to convince the umpire it wasn't out, but not to be.
Okay, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Hazlett has written and produced, supported in the vocals by yours truly, and it is a song about Mitch Drennan's dismissal yesterday. We hope you enjoy it.
Batting. Nick the ball, this time I'm not gonna walk. Fielders go up, I'm not gonna walk. Umpire, staring down. He looks at me and I stand my ground. I look at him and I stand my ground. I need runs, I need runs, I need runs right now. Yeah, Arnie runs right now. So don't give me, don't give me, don't give me out. I think I'm gonna get dropped now. It's in your hands, umpire's call. I hope you can hear outside edge hitting balls. So don't give me, don't give me, don't give me out. Don't give me out, don't give me out. Don't give me out, out, out. Don't give me out, don't give me out, out, out. Please, sir, I wanna play. I really need this to go my way. But nothing seems to go my way. I need runs, I need runs right now. Yeah, I need runs right now. So don't give me, don't give me, don't give me out. I think I'm gonna get dropped now. It's in your hands, umpire's call. I hope you can hear outside edge hitting balls. So don't give me, don't give me, don't give me out. Don't give me out, don't give me out.
Dance anthem.
Don't give me out, out, out.
Yep.
Don't give me out, out, out. Don't give me out, out, out. Don't give me out, don't give me out, out, out. Oh, I think I'm gonna get dropped now, yeah. Oh, I think I'm gonna get dropped now, yeah.
It's actually very hard to sing that empire.
All right, guys, that was the, what was the song called again, Haz? Don't Give Me Out, I believe it was called, obviously a parody, a cover of the Chainsmokers hit, Haz.
Don't Let Me Down.
Don't Let Me Down, what a song that was. Well, very well performed. Haz, how were your vocals there? Were you strong?
Not much of a public singer. I'm probably the last person to get up on a karaoke night and belt out the tunes. So
that's what we do here, man. Just get people out of their comfort zone. It's magnificent. It was great to see you. I thought you embraced it. We'll obviously have a little lyric video at some stage where you get to see Haz's facial expressions there as well. Very, very strong. And what a way to take us out of this episode. This was episode 18, guys, I believe, wasn't it?
Yep, sounds about right.
It was, indeed. Episode 18. Obviously, if you missed our interview last week with Kate McCarthy, we would implore you to go back and listen to that. It's fantastic. Keep your ear out for the Matthew Renshaw interview this week. Guys, we really hope that you enjoyed this particular episode. If you did, obviously, please get yourself over to either Apple or Spotify and subscribe wherever you listen to it. Give us a rating. That would be magnificent and greatly appreciated. If you have any feedback or ideas for us to cover as you've sort of contributed this week, please send an email straight to hello@wegotthechocolates.com.au. And obviously, Mitch, we want people to continue to engage with us on social media. Where can they find us?
Yep, get around us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I think that's just about it, really. So send us in anything you've got. Give us a share or a shout-out, whatever.
That's where you get your updates from when the new episodes get put up, and you can easily listen to them from there, too, if you want.
Guys, we really do love, obviously, talking about your ideas. We love getting to speak to you, and we love speaking about you on the podcast. So do continue to engage with us there. Thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.